there is people everywhere in New York City. I mean, just sitting in my dad's room and watching this office building next to his, right below the George Washington Bridge, there's just people just come and go all day long. And then Friday night, the fire alarm went off in the hotel, and we all had to go downstairs, and it was pretty crowded. So I walked out into the street, and it was 1:30 in the morning. I'm looking around, there's people everywhere. I mean, there's people that never, ever sleep, but there's not a whole lot of good churches up there. I looked for one and couldn't find one. And so it is good to be home. And continue to pray for my dad. He has dementia, and when he's in the hospital, it really expands. And then coming home, I'm sure he'll be a little bit back to normal after he gets situated at home for a while. But they wanted to do surgery, and the surgery would have been too much for him, so we decided not to. I'd rather keep him around for a while than lose him on a table in New York. And the doctor said the rehab is going to be really extensive. I said, he can barely walk. How's he going to rehab? And so he'll be taking some antibiotics and be taken for the rest of his life. But the problem is there's an infection where they did a triple bypass in 2002. And they did a CAT scan, and they seen air bubbles, of all things. And that told them there was an infection there. And so just keep praying for him, and I'd appreciate that. And I'm a little upset tonight. My wife threw away my favorite dress shirt. And she said I had too many stains on it. She was been looking to throw that away for a while, but I kept wearing it because it was the best dress shirt I ever had in my life. It was a Joseph and Banks. It was heavy. It didn't wrinkle. And it's gone. She's trying to say she didn't do it, but I don't believe it. I believe she's... And then I ate dinner and was trying to get dressed, and I forgot I didn't even print my sermon out, so I quick had to do that. I got in my car, couldn't get my seatbelt to work. And it was just a myriad of things today after I got home from work. And so you bear with me, and we'll get through this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I praise the Lord for technology. And, you know, a lot of times I'll be, who knows where I'll be, and God will give me an idea about a sermon, and I got nothing to write on. I don't got a pen. I don't got a piece of paper. And I'm like, I'll remember that. And I'll get home that night and go, what in the world was I supposed to remember? And it goes. Well, recently God told me, I want you to write this down. I'm like, Lord, I don't have nothing. Then I remembered I have an iPhone that has a notes thing. And he just kept giving it to me, and I just kept writing. I wrote it all down, and I got it. So now I know next time God says, write this down, or I think of something, I'm just going to put it on there, and I'll always have it. And praise the Lord for it, because I would have never remembered any of this that he gave me. And it was like a speed fire drill. He just kept pumping things into my head, and I'm like, slow down, God, slow down. Can't type that fast. I'm not a teenager. I can't text that fast. Second Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read the first three verses. And as thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now let's pray. Father, I appreciate the opportunity to fill this pulpit. Lord, it's a special place in my heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be a blessing to these people. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help me with every word that needs to be said and every word that does not need to be said. I pray, Lord, that you'd just be with us tonight. The Holy Spirit would take control of this service and touch people's hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I started thinking about this. Because Nick is, on April 20th, Nick will be discharged from the Marines after serving 4 years, and he'll have 4 years of inactive reserves. And God just started giving me these things. But I really started thinking about it because of what he's done and what he's gone through these last 4 years. Verse 3 says, thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, at the very moment of salvation, we became enlisted in the Lord's army. We became soldiers of the cross. We became participants in the battle of good and right versus the darkness of Satan. I've read the back of the book, and we win, by the way. We know the outcome, and the victory is the Lord's. But we have enlisted in the Lord's army. And I started thinking about things that make a soldier a good soldier. You know, there's some people in our military that they get dishonorably discharged. You know, they do certain things. There is a code. You know, and I learned this. I learned a lot of stuff in North Carolina, being near Camp Lejeune and seeing people of the military every day out and about, Walmart, the grocery stores, the fast food joints, the restaurants. You see them all the time. But even when they're not on base and not in uniform, there's a code of conduct that the United States Marines are supposed to uphold. But what makes a good soldier? He didn't say just a soldier. He said a good soldier. A good soldier. I want to be a good soldier. A soldier is a soldier that don't get dishonorably discharged. A good soldier is a soldier that shows up for duty every day when he's supposed to. You know, I thought it was a little crazy, but every Monday, Nick had to get a haircut. I'm like, I don't think your hair grows that much in a week, son. He goes, don't matter how much it grows. That's what they expect of us. And one night, it was like 9 o'clock after church on a Sunday night. We were at his house. He said, he went like this. He goes, I got to get a haircut. That's not a problem in North Carolina. There's barbershops open 24 hours a day. So we just found us one, and we both got a haircut. But a good soldier. As Christians, what makes us a good soldier? One that's respected, one that God sees in his eyes as an excellent soldier of the cross. Because that's what I want to be. I don't want to have to go to the brig or be dishonorably discharged or any of that stuff. Number one, a good soldier follows orders. A good soldier follows orders. The military has a saying if we don't follow orders, people die. Well, we should have one say, if we don't follow orders, people die and go to hell. But a good soldier will follow orders. And that word follow is very interesting. I looked up in the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. It says, to go after, to walk behind in the same direction, to imitate, to copy, follow as a pattern or model, to have or to entertain like opinions, to believe or think like another, to act in conformity, to practice like, to move on in the same direction, to be led or guided by. That's the word follow. That doesn't mean you just follow. You're just not walking behind the Lord and following him. There's a whole lot of other things in there. That word, follow, to practice like, to move on in the same direction, to be led or guided by. Follow as a pattern or model. We got to follow directions. We got to follow what God has told us to do, but not just in following, but in action. A pattern. What he does, we do. We believe the same things he believes. We practice like he practiced. We have his opinions. We imitate him. Christ-like, we imitate him. But sometimes following God and following orders does not make sense to us, but it makes perfect sense to God. Take your Bibles and turn, well, we won't turn that one. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 to 20 is Joshua and Jericho, and God I'm sure they were ready for battle, and they wanted to fight, and they're getting ready to go, and they want to go into Jericho and take Jericho, and God says, hold on. You guys are going to march around the city. Say, what? Yeah, that's you're supposed to follow orders, Joshua. You're going to march around the city. And then you're going to blow a trumpet, and you're going to shout. Lord, we got this huge army. All these guys are ready to do battle. We can take Jericho. We can go in there and disintegrate them. We could do it. No, I want you to walk around the city. I want you to blow a trumpet. I want you to shout. That made probably made no sense to Joshua. Well, made no sense to me. He gave me this huge army. But he wants me to walk around here? Just follow orders. How about Abraham? Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But look at verse 1. He said, get out of the country from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He told Abraham to leave where he was and to just go, and then eventually God would show him where he wanted him. God didn't say, okay, I want you to move here. You're going to leave here and you're going to go to this spot. No, God just said, go, and I will show you where you're supposed to be. How many of you would just pack our car and start driving across the country and say, okay, God, tell me when to stop? That's essentially what Abraham did. Don't make no sense to me. Probably didn't make no sense to Abraham. Abraham was probably like, Lord, okay, where do you want me to go? No, that's it. I just want you to go. And when you get there, it's like, the kid, are we there yet? No, I'll tell you when we're there. Stop asking. Where am I going, Lord? Just go. Follow orders. Joshua followed orders. Abraham followed that order. How about Gideon? 10,000 men. God says, oh, you got too many. Whittles it down to 300. And then he says, you're going to use lights or lamps, pitchers, and trumpets. Say what? Lord, I got this big army here. I want to go down there and we can destroy them. Nope. You got 300 men and you can use lamps, pitchers, and trumpets. I don't know about you, but that don't make no sense to me. But it made perfect sense to God. See, all God wants us to do is follow his orders. This book is our orders from headquarters. How we act, walk, talk, all comes from this book. We all know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But how about love your neighbor? Yeah, he says that in there. He says, love your neighbor. How about don't steal? How about be in church? How about tithe? All those orders we need to follow, and there's a whole lot more, and we could stand here all night and list orders that God has told us to do, but we just need to learn to follow orders. A good soldier follows orders. Number two, a good soldier follows the example of his leader. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also walk even as he walked. How did Jesus walk? What's the example that we get from Jesus? Well, he walked in love. It was unconditional. Aren't you glad he's got unconditional love? We're supposed to have that. But how many of you in here would raise our hand and say, I have unconditional love to everybody I come in contact with? It's an example he set for us. Unconditional love. That means you don't have to do nothing for salvation. You don't have to do none of that. He loved you so much, he paid the price. All you got to do is get saved. And then he still loves us unconditionally even when we mess up. I'm glad. I mess up a lot. Melissa, she really messes up. I live with her. But seriously, folks, unconditional love. We're supposed to walk as he walked. How's our unconditional love doing? I mean, there's just some people that I just get upset with. I think stupid should hurt. I mean, did you ever just meet somebody and you're like, you're thinking in the back of your brain, are you just stupid or what? You don't want to say it, but you're thinking it. Or you're an idiot. But you're not going to say it, but you're thinking it. Unconditional love, regardless. It's hard. How about compassion? He walked with compassion. Compassion means a sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or the misfortune of others. I know sometimes we have pity on people, but do we have concern for them? I mean, somebody comes to us with a problem, and we say, man, I really feel bad about that. But are we concerned about it? Are we concerned about how they're going to get through it? Are we concerned enough to help them? So it's a problem. We say we're concerned, but we're not concerned enough to help them. Compassion. You know, we don't help them so we can say, you owe me one. That's not compassion. Compassion is just doing something for somebody, not worrying about the cost or anything that's going to happen. You just want to help them get through their situation. Jesus walked with mercy. I mean, how many times could he have just called down fire and fried people? He had mercy. He had mercy on people. He had grace. We're supposed to walk after that example, compassion, mercy, grace, love. We're supposed to walk after that. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to follow that example that he set for us. How are we doing in that? I know sometimes I don't have a whole lot of grace. I need to work on it. I do. Mercy. Number three, a good soldier continues when he's wounded. A good soldier continues when he's wounded. You want to come off the battlefield alive, right? You're going to keep fighting until you can't breathe no more. But a good soldier will continue even when he's wounded. You know, Baptists got the stigma of we always kick our wounded. We always kick them while they're down. But see, a good soldier will continue when he's wounded. I thought of Paul. Paul was stoned. Paul was beaten. Paul was shipwrecked. All those things that happened to Paul over the course of his lifetime, he continued. I never seen Paul quit. I never seen him mention quitting. Paul just continued even when he was wounded. How about Job? If anybody had an excuse to give up and quit, it was Job. But Job did not. He continued. Turn to Job chapter number 1. Somebody stole Job. Verses 1 through 19 talk about the whole thing with Job, and you get down to 19, and that's the end of everything. Everybody's died. He's lost everything. He's bankrupt. Everything has been killed or died or burned up or shot or murdered. Look at verse 19. It says, "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only escaped alone to tell thee." Job has lost everything. Verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." It says, and worshipped. Didn't say he gave up. It didn't say he gave in. He didn't throw in the towel. It says Job worshipped. Do we do that when we get in trouble? We worship the Lord when the burden, when the news comes, your dad's going to the hospital and it don't look good. Or so-and-so is sick and it's not, don't look good. So-and-so was in a car accident. Do we worship or do we worry? Look at the next thing. It says, "A naked," verse 21, it said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job worshipped. Number two, Job praised the Lord. I can tell you, that's probably not me. He worshipped and he praised the Lord after he lost everything. Not just some things, everything. He worshipped and he praised the Lord. You say, "Brother Lancaster, how does somebody do that?" I don't know. But I know he knew God and he trusted God. Look at chapter 2 and look up there around verse 3. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." That word integrity means having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. Through all that tragedy that Job had, he kept his testimony. He worshiped God, he praised God, he kept his testimony. Hey, he was wounded, but he wasn't giving up. A good soldier continues when he's wounded. You know, I've been around church for a long time now. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I've seen people leave churches for less than what Job went through. Hey, listen, somebody said something, and it wounded you, and you just decided to walk out the doors of church, or you've considered walking outside the church, or something didn't go your way in a business meeting, or something didn't go your way in church. Somebody sat in your pew. Somebody didn't shake your hand. But somehow, in some way, you got offended, or you got hurt. You got wounded. Don't give up. Keep going. If Job has the integrity to keep going, we should have the integrity to keep going, because ain't none of us ever going to face what he's faced. Number four, a good soldier realizes who his enemy is. A good soldier realizes who his enemy is. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 22. It says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you, unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things be of God, but those that be of men. The Lord knew, that came out of Peter's mouth, but he knew it wasn't Peter. Jesus knew who the enemy was. A good soldier knows who his enemy really is. Your enemy's not sitting in this room. At least he better not be. If you have an enemy in this room, that somebody better get right with God. But see, people will say stuff, and Peter was not Jesus' enemy, but Jesus knew who was behind Peter's thought. So many times Christians are hurt by something said, something someone has done, or what we think someone said. Did you ever take something the wrong way? You hear somebody say something, and boy, oh boy, you're off to the races. Did you hear what they said? Maybe that's not really how they meant it. Did you ever say something and didn't come out right? You can't put them back in. But see, somebody will be talking to somebody, and somebody will hear something, and oh boy, they thought they heard something. Now they're offended. Now they think that person's their enemy. I can't believe they said that. I know why they said that. Oh, do you really? No, you probably don't know why they said it, and they probably didn't say that in the first place. See, we got to realize who our enemy really is. And if one of our Christian brothers or sisters says something that's kind of off key and kind of not right, maybe we need to just step back and think about this passage and say, okay, Satan, I got you. I know that person really wouldn't say that kind of thing. But no, we take it to heart. And now all of a sudden we think we got an enemy because somebody said something or did something that we don't understand or we thought we heard or we get our toes stepped on in the preaching. Oh, he's preaching at me. I know he's talking about me. Really? I don't know a preacher in the world that points people out. Or knows about a sin of one person in their church and that's what he preaches on. I don't think that happens. And I know from traveling that preachers, I've never had a preacher say, hey, I need to talk to you and call me in their office and say, no, I want you to preach this because I got a guy in my church that's into this and I want you to preach about it. Never happened. Matter of fact, I've asked every preacher I preach for, is there something specific you would like me to preach about? And know whatever God lays on your heart. But we think that person has become our enemy. And again, our enemy is not in this room. Shouldn't be. If it is, somebody needs to get right. Number five. A good soldier never underestimates his enemy. A good soldier never underestimates his enemy. And I thought of Joshua at Ai. He got a report, but they're just a few. We don't have to send the whole army. Just send a few, Joshua, and we'll take care of this. And at that point, Joshua didn't know there was sin in the camp yet. So Joshua said, okay, we're just going to send this many people. We'll go take care of this problem and we'll move on. And they got whooped. They underestimated Ai. Listen, folks, don't ever underestimate the devil. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. And he has no rules. He don't play by rules. He don't follow rules. He don't care. He went to God and God said, you can do anything you want, but you can't kill him. Job was in so much pain. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Everything gone in his life. He don't play fair, folks. He doesn't play fair. Listen, when we pray out, I don't think he knows everything God knows, and I don't think if we pray silently in our hearts that he knows what we're praying, but when we pray out loud, I believe he listens. And when we ask God to deliver us from a certain sin that we have in our life, he says, okay. Mrs. Gilmore likes to watch Hallmark movies. We're going to get her. Hallmark movies aren't a sin, but, you know, they'll end the same way. The plot's always this. Never mind, I can't get on that. But he listens. And we mentioned that thing we have trouble with. And you're going to think he doesn't use that against us? Of course he will. The things you watch on TV. He says, okay, I can use something like that. Then he puts something in front of your eyes on TV that you know you shouldn't look at, but you're looking at it. See, we can never underestimate him because he has no rules. He has no boundaries. His job is to defeat you, to discourage you, and to get you non-effect for the Lord and out of church. Now, he can't take you to hell, and we know that, but he could take you out of church, and he could take you out of the work of God, and he could take you from sitting in your pew, and he could take you from reading your Bible because he got to you somehow. Never underestimate the works of Satan, your enemy. And as I was writing this, finished writing this at 5:30 this evening, I have one more point, but I have no subpoints. But I'll give it to you. A good soldier prepares for battle. A good soldier prepares for battle. Most Christians are taken out by him because we are not prepared to battle. We're not ready for a battle. See, and a lot of times we're not ready for a battle because we're not spiritual. We don't read and pray and keep our spiritual strength up. But a lot of times he comes, and for lack of a better word, he sucker punches us. Something will come out of nowhere. Bam. And we'll be, what just happened? Now we're in crisis mode. Because we didn't prepare for the battle. And Brother Renzi preached some of it, and that's what I was going to write down, but I know he preached it, so I just left it blank. But Ephesians chapter 6. We need to prepare for battle. We need to be ready for that attack. We need to be ready at all times for that thing that he's going to throw at us. Now, I'm not saying we walk around scared and nervous all the time, but when it comes, we don't need to break. We need to take the shot like a boxer does and maybe stagger back a little bit, get our footing and say, okay, I'm ready for battle. And sucker punch him back and kick him in the shin and blow his nose and poke him in the eye, whatever you got to do. But listen, we need to be prepared for battle. We need to be battle ready. Not only that, we need to be battle ready because I think there's some hard times coming down the road for Christians. Now, Trump don't care. He likes us. He don't do nothing with us. But there's a group on the other side that hates us. And I truly believe if any of them ever get in charge again in the White House, we're done. They would love nothing more to shut down all these churches and start taxing churches for the property on and doing all that stuff so they can close the churches because they don't like Christians. There's a battle. You know, if they start collecting this book and want to take it from you, are you going to hand it over or are you going to fight for it? Are you prepared for that battle? They ain't getting mine. A good soldier follows orders. A good soldier follows the example of his leader. A good soldier continues when he's wounded. A good soldier realizes who his enemy is. A good soldier never underestimates his enemy, and he's always prepared for battle. A good soldier, that's what I want to be, a good soldier. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach tonight. I pray, Lord, it was a blessing. I pray, Lord, it was a help to someone in here. And, Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the renovations of this church and how beautiful it looks. I pray, Lord, that you bless the rest of it. I pray, Lord, that you bless us with 125 on Sunday. And, Lord, I pray that you bless those that are sick, Lord, and those that need answers to prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd answer according to your will. And Father, we'll give you all the thanks, the honor, and the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.